Okay, I want to share a quick ha'ara on Hanukkah, and it's something that I thought of over Shabbos. So I have two kashas. One is a very practical question, and one is a famous question. The very practical question is, we say it all the time in Ma'osor, we say, V'timu kol hashmanim. And they made, and we know this, right? You know this since you were born, that we made all the tamei, all the oil tamei. I have a question for you. Ever go to to Israel? They take you on one of those tours, and you see like historically what happened, and you know what the oil was placed in. What was the oil placed in? What was it placed in? It was placed in those jugs that are like pottery. Now, if you were going to destroy the oil, what would the most simplest way? No, what would the most simplest way have been to have gotten rid of the oil? Yeah, crack it. Just take the pottery and throw it down to the ground. The oil spills out. They all have those chashuvah seals. Not the seals, the fish. You know, the seals on top and the chaysim and the signets. And you couldn't break the seal. If you broke the seal, that made the oil tame. And for some reasons, the Yevanim determined and decided, in the midst of a war, not to destroy the oil, but they determined to make the oil tame. Which is like almost thoughtful. I don't mean thoughtful in a healthy way. I mean it was, they came across and they thought about it and they specifically, I'm not up to question two still. That's Aleph. And it's much longer to make something tummy than it is to actually destroy it. Right? You ever see any movie or any time you go, when you're upset at somebody, you want to destroy a room, you just throw things around. You don't like, let me take this and place it here. It's a very strange thing. That's Aleph. Beis is a famous, that's my kasha. Beis is a famous kasha of the Pnei Yehoshua. We've got to get two questions. And the only answer is good if it answers both questions, right? That's a mahalach. The famous kasha of the Pnei Yehoshua. What's the famous kasha of the Pnei Yehoshua? Not the famous kasha of the Beis Yosef, which everyone hacks on Chanukah, but the famous kasha of the Pnei Yehoshua. What's the famous kasha of the Pnei Yehoshua? Who knows the famous kasha of the Pnei Yehoshua? Tumah, Hutra, B'tzibor. Who knows what those three words mean? Yeah?
That Toma is removed from the tzibor, meaning that if the entire tzibor is coming,
yeah,
then you're able to use the tamei oil.
Correct. So, for example, where this really comes up is traditionally we know if somebody's supposed to bring a korban Pesach, on Erev Pesach, if he's tamei, he brings a Pesach sheni. But if 51% of the people are tamei, then you don't have to wait to Pesach sheni, you bring it. That's the famous kasha. So the Pnei Yehoshua asks, since everything was tamei at the time, the concept of Tumah Hutra means it's permitted. Tumah in the tzibur, in the communal sphere, is permissible. So we didn't need to find Tahor oil. All we needed to do was take the Tumah oil. This is the Kasha, the famous Kasha, the Pnei Yehoshua. Second most famous Kasha on Chanukah. What's the most famous Kasha on Chanukah?
7, 9.
How can we do 7, not 8? Okay, but we're not going to answer that one today. That's not the Kasha answer. So I have two Kashas on the board. Kasha number one, the kasha of Pnei Yehoshua. Kasha number two, the kasha, my kasha, which is why metame and not break. Yeah, what do you want to say? Baruch atah Adonai Mechalom, shakol niyeh bedvarim. Yeah, go. What do you got?
So I think that the Yevanim's entire essence was not to destroy us physically, but destroy us spiritually.
And therefore,
they decided that even though it would take a longer time to then physically break the Shemaziah, it would be like...
So how does that answer the Kasha of the Pnei Yehoshua?
So it answers the Kasha of the Pnei Yehoshua, because in us, we're like reverse. We were determined to show that even though the Yevanim were trying to...
You could have given the shit. You had my machshava.
They were trying to do as much spiritual...
And I've never seen this Teretz of the Pnei Yehoshua, but I think it's Metar. It's beautiful. Let me unpack what you just said. Beautiful, beautiful, excellent, excellent, awesome. What is Tumah? What is Tumah? Is the first thing you have to understand, right? And what was the intention of the Greeks? What was their goal? So what is Tumah on a most basic level? You know what Tumah is?
Impurity.
Impurity. You know how something becomes impure? Right? What's the highest level of Tumah?
Dead
a dead body. Why is a dead body Tumah? Why is it not pure? Why?
It's fully during its life.
Oh, yeah?
Lack of God.
Because the godliness of the person is gone.
It's only the physical.
The neshama is gone, and you're only left with the physical. When you're only left with the physical, that's the highest level of tumah. Right? When we distance something from the Ribbono Shelam, thus is Tumah. That's Tumah. So what was the whole Greek agenda? What was the Greek agenda? The Greek agenda is a funny gullus that I shared this with you on Thursday a little bit. But the agenda of the Greeks was one in which we call it a gullus. We call it an exile. But here's the funniest part of the story. Traditionally, we view exile as you've been removed from where you are physically and you've been put in a different location. Right? Jews were in Israel, and now they're in Bavel, now they're in Rome, now they're in America, now they're in Egypt, now we're somewhere else. Gullus is distance from Hashem. And the Gullus Yavin has nothing to do with our physical presence, but it has to do with our spiritual presence. Where the Yavanim, the Greeks, wanted to take away the HaKadosh Baruch Hu of us. And they wanted to say there's no such thing as the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All the Gzeiras were about a removal of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they were into Greek beauty, Greek culture. I hate to say this, but like, I felt like, maybe I should, but like when we went to the water park, I'm like, this is crazy. When I was a kid, everybody was fat. Today, everybody's like, mom is ripped. So why is everybody ripped today? Because, all right, some people not included, but why is everybody, why? Because of the Interzach, exactly why. Because of Facebook and Instazach and the other thing and all these things, you have to show, mom is Snapzach. Yeah, this is mamish, the Greek culture coming into our community, where everybody has to look a certain part. Nothing wrong with being healthy. We're going to have a great health day January 2nd. It's got to do with that. Nobody's born the way you guys look. I mean, the whole notion is very surface, and they worship the body, and they worship physical, because the spiritual component, the DNA that's behind it, is irrelevant. What is relevant is the physical part. And that was the Greek agenda. That was the entirety of the Greek agenda. I'll bring another raya that Gullus, I saw a Mary Dikvart from Rav Melech Biderman, a footnote in Rav Melech Biderman this past week. Rav Melech Biderman is unreal. But he has a Mary Dikvart. I saw it, a footnote, I don't remember where, on the Sefer Chanukah. He asks, what's with the juxtaposition? Big word there, you know what juxtaposition means? Right, we have two things together, high five. What's with the juxtaposition of the story of Yehuda and the story of Yosef? Yehuda and Tamar followed by Yosef, where Yosef goes down to Mitzrayim and Yehuda is the one who is engaging in this frivol, you know, this quote-unquote skeptical behavior with this with Tamar. Again, it turns out good in the end, but that whole discussion. And Rav Melech says, it teaches us a very powerful thing. Because very often people said, in order for me to be frum, I got to go to Eretz Yisrael for the year. You know what I'm going to get frum? Next year in Eretz Yisrael. Or, I got to be in the Aleph class because I got to be surrounded by the best kids. Yehuda was in the Aleph Shia. Yehuda was in Eretz Yisrael. Look what happened. Yosef was in the Dalet Shia. Yosef was in Mitzrayim. Yosef was surrounded by the most decadent society. But if you look at all the psukim describing Yosef, the Torah keeps referring and saying one thing over and over again. It says what? He was with Hashem. It kept saying that he was Matzliach because Hashem. We call him Yosef HaTzadik. And the reason why we call him Yosef HaTzadik is because he always brought Hashem with him wherever he went. Irrespective, his gullus, while physically he was a gullus, but the Geula was with him at all times. He had a status of Tahara. That was where Yosef was. And the Greeks are like, it's all Tame. There's no such thing. Who cares? It's just about absence of Hashem. It's a physical beauty. And we're like, no, it's all about being with Hashem. Yosef shows us you can be with Hashem everywhere. As opposed to Yehuda, even if you're in the most holy places, if you're not with Hashem, that's not a great Hashkafa. So now let's bring it back to the Pnei Yeshua's Kasha. Pnei Yeshua says, no, we could have used Tame oil. Yeah, but so did the Greeks. The Yavanim said, it's all about the light in the room. As long as you can light the menorah, it's lit. Who cares if it's Kaddish? Who cares if it's Tami Vaharaya? We're going to spend time. We don't want to ruin the oil. You know why we don't ruin the oil? Because oil makes beautiful light.
Yeah.
Right? Oil makes beautiful. We don't want to ruin it. We're just going to make a tummy. You know why? Because I want to show you. I want to shock those Jews who think there's a thing as a Kaddish Baruch Hu in the world. There's a difference between Tum and Tara. There's a difference between being with Hashem, not with Hashem. There's no Hashem. It's all physical beauty. They worship physical beauty. So now, we beat the Greeks in the physical war, but more important was not the physical war. It was the war of Hashkafas. It was the war of being able to determine that there's a Kaddish Baruch Hu behind the scenes and everything. There's such a thing that's Tahara, that's critical and important. So that is not the time to use Tamei oil. We have to use Tara oil because we have to show that there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu in each and every part of what we do. So I always have to highlight this. I want to share a story I just heard. I heard the story at the Aguda convention. I didn't go to the Aguda convention, but Baruch Hashem, some things are good online on the Intizach, and they showed the Aguda convention online. And the Aguda convention, there's a gadol by the name of Rav Aaron Lopiansky. Rav Aaron Lopiansky was on a panel with Ori Deutsch, and they were asking him all kinds of questions to Chasheva Rabbanim. He's the Rosh Yeshiva down in Silver Spring. Misconception, people think it's Silver Springs, it's only one spring. Did you know that? One spring.
I did know that.
You knew that? Great adventure, one adventure.
Yeah,
not multiple adventures, one adventure.
I think people think
it's an adventure. I think people do. It's a great
adventure. Okay. Only Silver Springs.
Silver Springs, people think there's two. There's only one spring.
No.
A couple of other things like that.
Silver Springs. You said Silver Springs.
Right.
I've never heard of Silver Springs.
So Rav Lopiansky, who's the Rosh Yeshiva of Silver Springs, said something maridik. He said something gevaldik. Listen to what he says. They asked him the following kasha. Some of you are writing your paper on Hashgacha Pratis, and they say, what do you think about all those stories on Hashgacha Pratis is that all the magazines put out where, like, all of a sudden they tell you, like, oh, he's supposed to get on the plane, and right before the plane, he got stuck at a red light forever, and he couldn't make the plane, and then the plane blew up. Oh, so you see, it was Hashgacha Pratis, he didn't get on the plane. 9/11, you have stories like that. My car accident story, we all tell stories like that, right? So, one day they'll hear.
I said in March.
So the point is that what do you think of those stories? So if Lopiansky says that story, those stories I don't like. Listen to the kind of stories I do like. Listen to this. So he tells a ma'isa about a Kohel guy in Eretz Yisrael. This guy's in Kohel, and while he's in Kohel, it's hard. You know, he wants to make a couple extra dollars on the side. Shkala. So in Israel, there's a big new job. You know what the job is? Campaigning. Because every 6 months or so, they have a new election. Right? So, he gets a job. Guy in Bnei Brak, and he gets a job, 2,000 shekel a month, 2,000 shekel a month to campaign. I think it was Ben Hazman. So, he'd have to miss much of Seder. Givaldik, it is. So, the first day he leaves Bnei Brak, and he goes to the campaigning place. And it turns out that the women at the campaign place aren't as dressed properly as he's used to. He has a shtickle of an issue with Shmiras Hanayim. So he doesn't know what to do. So he goes home that night, he thinks about it, and he decides he's not going to take the job. He's going to quit the job. That means he's giving up 2,000 shekel a month. For a guy in Kohel, it's a lot of money. A week and a half later, he's walking around aimlessly, and he's thinking about that money that he gave up.
It's not money.
And he's Ben Hazmanim, Ben Hazdarim, excuse me. So the Mashkichim out there. And he's thinking about that story. He's looking around and he's looking down. And you know what he finds?
2,000 shekels.
He finds himself. I baited you. I baited you. He finds himself. Meaning what? See, in life, we always say, you know where Kadosh Baruch Hu is? I win the game. I said, thank God. I lose the game. I said, why did Kadosh Baruch Hu do that to me? Like, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in every aspect of our lives. The Greek culture was a culture in which there's no God, there's all logic, it's all surface. Our Hashkafas HaChayim on Hanukkah is that we're bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into every aspect of our lives. Hashem's only in Eretz Yisrael, I'm in the Galus now. We're bringing the menorah into our homes as a symbol of the Hashkacha process that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides for us in every step along the way. That's the eternal message of what Hanukkah is all about. That's what we're celebrating. And it's critical to think like that. It's critical to recognize, as one of my Rebbeim said, we said this a couple weeks ago, Rav Leuchter, he says, Hashem is not just Baruch Hashem and Gamzu L'Tova. It's every part of my life, Hashem is engineering and he's part of it. And it's not just surface, where there's a physical exterior and there's nothing behind it. You know, sometimes when I'm typing on my computer, like the code comes up. I don't know if it ever happens to you, but like because I hit the wrong buttons of sorts when I'm dealing. Right? Is that what it is? So sometimes they control shift I by accident. See, I didn't even know that. I always wondered why that happened. So then I hit some buttons and exit out because it's annoying. You hit control shift I, you see the code behind what you're really typing. There's really the code of whatever you're running at that time. whether it's email or internet zach or whatever it is.
Internet zach.
But the point is, chevra. The point is that there's a code behind everything that goes on, and that code is the Rebbeinu Shlomo. The Greeks say there's no code. That's Yvan. Our avoda is to always recognize the code. So that's our avoda, and recognize that Hashem is there the whole time.